Abbiamo intervistato il signor Joshua Witet de Pioc, direttore dell'Ufficio Relazioni Pubbliche del Movimento di Liberazione del Sudan del Sud. La prima parte dell'intervista sarà in inglese, mentre la seconda parte sarà in italiano. I've been reading that in Southern Sudan there are instances of secession from Sudan. An agreement has been signed in 2005 between Garambe, the former president Garambe, and the actually president in charge in Sudan, Mr. Bashir. And in 2011, your Southern Sudanese are going to ballots to decide if they can claim independence from the rest of the country. What are your main hopes and your main aspiration for this new election?
Well, the peace that been signed in 2005 is is actually, it come out from a very long war, which was being described as the longest war in Africa. So the government of Sudan and the SPLA have reached to a comprehensive peace that can put a new base for the country. We have many steps that we have to pass through this interim period, we call it 6 years. Then after the 6 years, we give the right of self-determination for the Southern Sudanese people. Otherwise, to vote for the unity of the country or to have their independent country. And we in SPLM, we have put a very clear vision to protect the interests of the people, that the unity of the country have to be in a new basis, the basis of equality, justice, and to avoid the regimes and the Islamic law. Islamic law, yeah, the Islamic law or the Sharia. So when the North government is still putting themselves in the position that they want to protect Islam and Sharia, and they want to form the Sharia country, so the Southern Sudanese people have the right to have their own, that they can rule it in a democratic systems in the way that nobody will trade them in that land. Yeah.
Because I know that the southern region of Sudan, the overwhelming, well, not the overwhelming, but there is a somehow majority of Christians. And this originates out of this, what I mean is a kind of religious conflict that brought you to this separation, or it is more some problem between Mr. Bashir and Mr. Kiir or Garand? I mean, how are the relationship between Southern Sudan, which is Christian, the other part of the country, which is Islamic, and within this relationship, I want to stress the importance between the relationship between Mr. Bashir and the president in charge of Southern Sudan, Mr. Kiir.
Oh, okay. I will come to the very clear point of that.
Yes.
The war in Sudan is not started by Garang movement, which is mean, or by the SPLM that Garang was founding.
Yes.
Already the war was there before the independence of the country, which is mean in 1955, the Southern Sudanese people took arms to fight the government in the north due to mistreating them in the army, due to inequality and injustice and a lot of things. So the old government who came in powers in the north was mistreating the problem of the south. So the south took arm from that time till 72, and they achieved a peace called Addis Ababa Peace Agreement, mm-hmm. which was enabled even to treat the ambitions of the southerners and the rest of the people. So the vision of the SPLM, the movement that founded by the great Dr. John Gereng de Mabior, have put a very clear vision that can treat the country in a new basis. We have put, classified the problem of Sudan in two things, the historical diversity and the temporary diversity. The historical diversity is that the Sudan was been there before the coming of the Arab people, because when you get back to the history, we was having Nubian civilization, we was having Kush civilization, and one of the great prophet Isaiah in chapter 18 have talked about our land, Sudan. Sudan is been there 3,000 years BC, which is mean before Christ. That's Sudan. Then you come to Nubian civilization, to the Kush. Then you come to the Nubian kingdoms, Alawa, Makaria, plus Soba. Then you come to the Islamic rules, Fung and Sultanate Darfur. All these are a combining of civilization in the country. So we do not, we cannot say that the country start from al-Bashir or start from when the Arab get in the country. This is, we call it a historical diversity. We have to respect all these things, and anyone who can avoid this historical background is somebody, maybe we can describe him as crazy. So this is the old background of the country, and the historical things are reality of our country. Then the temporary diversity is that Sudan is containing more than 500, okay, more than 500 ethnic groups, which is mean tribes, and we are speaking more than 70 languages in the general country. So you cannot treat all this diversity in just to force people to be Muslim and to be Arab. And they are not. Already they are Africans, and there is non-African. We believe in SPLM that there is Arab, there is Africans, and there is others who are in the country. So we have to respect all these things in a vision. Can treat all the country in the basis. Arab and Africa are equal. Muslim and Christian are equal. To take the Sudan in the right track that he can participate in the region and internationally. That's the base we believe on it. To in the way moving of these diversities, the old government who come in the north after the independence, they didn't put a very clear vision of treating the problem of the country. They come with a very narrow vision that Sudan is Arab and Muslim. So what will be the role of the non-Arab and non-Muslim people in the country? So the challenges now is either we to accept ourselves as a new people, that we have to accept ourselves regardless to our religions, regardless to our tribes, regardless to our ethnic background. This is the basic of the new Sudan. We believe on that. If we fail to form this new Sudan, it will be the choice for the Sudanese people to decide. Okay, now the government in Khartoum, al-Bashir, because it's not a personally problem between al-Bashir and Kiir. No, it is not a personally problem. It is a movement of people. SPLM been founded by people. It is a movement of people who ask or who are claiming for their rights. Yeah, this is how we used to put the general reading for this. So if al-Bashir people or al-Bashir government want to continue in the Islamic rules and Sharia law and all these things, definitely without any doubt that the Southern Sudanese people will vote for their independence, to have their own country, to have their own country that they can feel free on it, they can feel of justice, they can feel that this is ours, because the country which is available now, we didn't get ourselves in it. We didn't get ourselves in it. In Khartoum now, people are being treated by Sharia law. I'm not a Muslim. But they can judge me in a Sharia law system. Why? This is one of the problems. So the problem is not the religious. It's a critical things being created by the rulers people. But when you get to the normal people who are living in the street, they are normal. They have no any problem. Otherwise, you bring any law in the country, they will accept it. But the rulers people who are bringing people in the target that we are living into now. Yeah. So the problem is not a personal problem. It is a regional problem. Because if we mistreat Southern Sudan, if Southern Sudan get independent, surprise if tomorrow Darfurian gonna claim for their independence or the East gonna claim for their independence. Because if you didn't get yourself, you are a part of this country, you will look for other opportunity to treat yourself as somebody. That's how I can explain.
Perfect. I need this so-called big picture because the general tendency in Europe to see this crisis are like crazy outcome of a personal panache like al-Bashir. That's why I needed a clear explanation. Now we get into depth within the Southern Sudanese movement. I read some of the 15 points program, the SPLMS, and how do you think it's going to be easy to implement them? It's going to be easy to make them real, or is a program that needs to be developed over time? I mean, of course, you don't build up a nation overnight, but is going to be an easy process or a tough process for your country?
Definitely, to form any program is not an easy it's not an easy movement. Yeah, so we've been headed a lot of challenges in the foundation of the movement itself. So the movement passed by many critical periods. Yeah, except example in 1991, we get a group from our people, which is mean group from the SPLM was split from the SPLM and fight against us, being supported by the North, and they have found a movement to ask for the independence of the country. So we fought them. We fought them almost for more than 10 years. Then after that, when they fell, they didn't get what they was expecting from the North, they come back to us, and they are now with us in the movement. So the challenges are biggest, okay, for the SPLM itself. But we are doing the possible because we are human beings. We have a range for our ambitions. So we want to realize some of what we have. So the realization of what we have, the main gate that we have, it is a new Sudan vision to be realized in the daily basis of human being life. This is our mission. So as the generation of today, now we've been having 6 years peace. The 6 years, now five of it is passed. And today people are talking about the unity of the country. What you did indeed in 5 years, are you able to do it in 7 months? This is impossible. It will not happen, actually. So, to be very frank and very clear, the Southern Sudanese people, the majority today, are saying that there is nothing changed during these 6 years. So, the better things, or the easy way for us, we have to get our independence. And let's just form the new Sudan in the level that we can. This is not the right. This is not our claim. It is the people who are asking this. We as PLM, we are still in the position of asking for the unity of the country in new basis. But we cannot transform this alone because we have a partner. The partner, which is mean al-Bashir party, the Bashir National Congress Party. Yeah. This is our partners. So if our partners rejecting all our
proposals,
it means that definitely we will not force the Southern Sudanese to vote for the unity of the country, and they are not seeing any income or any feedback from the North. Yeah. So things are become very complicated, actually. Yeah. And they want a unity in the old unity that we've been fought against it. And this unity is rejected by the SPLM and rejected by the people in the South. And it's rejected by the people in Darfur, rejected by the people in
the eastern part
of the country. And now there's a movement in the far north of the country. The Nubian Kush are moving now. They are not unable to get themselves in the country. So
it seems like the Sudan cannot respect. It is not represented by those borders we are usually to see on the map. I mean, there is this tendency over Africa to see that many of the countries that has been built reflect Western post-colonization tendency. Whereas, for example, as a cornerstone example, yours, you have a single country with almost five different big groups that claim for their independence. So, is it possible for you and the other independence movement to gather together and ask for a negotiation to have a kind of independence movement? For example, the southern part is already well ahead on the program, but how about the other parts, like the eastern part, the northern part, and the Darfur? I mean, is there any possibility for your movement to support them, or is it very tough for you?
Yeah, actually, any movement. This is, I want to correct you that.
Yes.
We didn't ask for the independence as the main goal of the SPLM movement. We ask for the unity of the country in a new basis. The independence will be the second claim. If we fail to achieve the unity in the new basis, the right of Southern Sudanese people been there. So when you come to the goal, the transition that we have taken within these 21 or 22 years voting against the government in Khartoum have brought this self-determination. Self-determination for the Southern Sudan was not an objective in the SPLM movement. It came in 1994 in Chukudum Convention after we see that the government in Sudan is declaring jihad for the South, declaring an Islamic country, declaring Sharia law, declaring a lot of Islamic stuff in the capital, and having a very hard and harsh war in the South. That's how we come and we think, okay, if this is the way the government in Khartoum is thinking, so the people of Southern Sudan have to decide what will be the right. Then the first time we raised this, we raised it in NDA, National Democratic Alliances, which was being formed in the Eastern Sudan by all opposition groups during that time. We raised the self-determination as a need for the Southern Sudanese in case we fail to achieve the unity in the new basis. So Darfurians, west and the far north, and in the mid, in the center, have the right to decide how they can treat these cases. So Darfur today is starting that we are claiming, because we are not being treated equally, we are asking for fair welfare, fair for power sharing, share in all the country bases. This is what they are asking now, and they want to avoid the marginalization that been done by the North, because the North have centralized all the powers. When you see Khartoum is look like Italy. This is Khartoum. But when you go just 10 kilometers from Khartoum, you will get people are living in, I don't know how to describe, but like somebody who been lived in the first time when Adam and Eve created them. Yeah, this is how. In the South, we have still up to date. Look, we are in 21st century. We have people still going naked in the South. People still treating themselves by the leaf of the trees. Look, people die by malaria. People die with just something cannot kill somebody. And there's somebody who is in the power there saying that I'm a president for all this country. You are not a president for yourself. You are a president for the people. What have you done for these people? This is what we are asking. They did nothing for us.
I see that. I'll be very brief. I have last two questions. The first one is about the alleged intimidation. I mean, there are some groups who claim that there's been alleged intimidation to them in 2010 election for anyone who has been a challenger, one or the other candidate. And I want to know your position on it. And the last question would be about do you have clear pictures about the development of the political and economical and social movement in Sudan? I mean, how is going to be the evolution of the country? Is going to achieve a new basis? Your feeling about that?
All right.
How do you feel, basically?
Okay, just before I come to your last question, I have to talk a little bit about the election.
Yes.
Election is one of the the step or the neat process in the implementation of the CPA, which is mean the Comprehensive Peace Agreement that we have signed it. So we SPLM, we are committed for the election. Okay, but we want this election to be a fair election, which is mean the election that will exercise the right of the people to choose who have the power or who have the who win the majority of the people. This is the election itself. So the election passed by many process, which is actually an unfair process. Okay, like we found the election commission. The election commission, they brought somebody from the south called Abililier. He was a former regional government in the south to become the head of the commission. But the rest, all of them, okay, they are from the north. So the election have done like this. They plan, they have analyzed and put all the steps that can make the National Congress win the election. This is how they form the election. So the election have been processed and made for the benefit of the National Congress. Okay, because the NCP, the National Congress, have interest to win the election. This is one, because it will give it a right of standing in front of the international community that I'm a winner. I'm the winner. I've been brought by the people of the Sudan, because he have challenges with the ICC somewhere there, and he have challenges in Darfur. He have challenges in this. So during all this process, there is many unfair system have happened. In the registrations, there is a part of that didn't register, and some of them was facing a lot of difficulties. Number two, in the census. The census, actually, we've been rejecting the census because the census didn't give the real number of the people in Sudan. The census giving the south 8 million population. When we make the registration, we get 5 million thousand registers as people who are above age, which is mean over 18. So it means that the south actually having a more than this number of census. Then when we told them this, they say, okay, we're going to give you 40 seats. So they own the country as it is their company. So, okay, because you are claiming for this, we will give you 40 seats in a parliament so that to cover the census, because they don't want to remake the census. So all these things, all these readers give the SPLM a position that the election will not be a fair election unless we have to put a lot of additional stuff on that in the north, because the National Congress want to win the north, not the south. So that's why the SPLM leader reached the conclusion that we going always boycott the election in the whole north, except two areas, Blue Nile and Nuba Mountain. These two areas have a special treatment in the SPLM, because they are a part of our movement during the struggle. So we didn't boycott the election in these two areas in the north, plus the election will continue in the whole south. This is how we describe that. We boycott the election in Darfur for the insecurity that been in Darfur, because we've been in Darfur, we saw how people are suffering, we saw there is a security insecurity in the area, people are still fighting, people are not having stability, so it will be too difficult for people to move from the camp to the city to vote. Because when we were there, people was interesting to come and visit us in the rally that we are doing. They was being blocked by the police and the army. So how can these people can come in a fair election to vote for somebody they want? So because of this, we have put the three region, Darfur, the whole three state in Darfur, that we have to boycott the election due to insecurity. We boycott the election in the 10, in the rest of the north states, except excluding two, the Nuba Mountain and Blue Nile, because of this, because of unfair election that will take place in the north. This is how we describe the election. The election came and passed, and all what we was talking about was true. Actually, it became there is a very very strong rigging in the north happened, and there is a lot of misleading, and there is a lot of mistakes, and even the international community, which is observing the elections, was being mistreated. They've been torturized by the president himself. He told them in one of his press that anyone who can talk about our internal issue, we are going to cut his nose and his mouth and kick him away from this country. So even the international observers, they are moving like this. They are unable to do anything. Yes, they will do whatever, and they have put the country in a maximum alarm. All the police, all the national security staff, all the army are putting in the maximum alert in the country. Is it we are going to the election or we are going to the war? This is how things was being treated in the north. So this is the general view for the election in the south. We in the south, we didn't accept the result of the election, but we have been having a fair election with a little problems, as you know. Usually country like South is we having a problem of movement, a facility of doing this, and people even they don't know how to, because how it to was vote. It was a very complicated. So the Southern Sudanese people have to vote 12 times. 12 times you will vote for the president in the country, you will vote for the president in the South, then for the parliament, then for the local state parliament. So it was a very complicated process for the Southern Sudanese people, but we pass it and we get very fair elections in the south. And
the outcome for you was good.
Was good actually. The president Kiir got 92% of the voters. So this is actually a huge number, showing that the Southern Sudanese or the movement called SPLM is being accepted in the south. This is we will be proud of this. It is giving us that the movement called SPLM is saving the interests of the people. Even if we was continue, because look, Yasser is our candidate for the presidency. Yasser getting from the south, getting the same percentage that Kiir get. So all the Southern Sudanese was with the aim of the SPLM, and he get a little score, and he was withdrawing from the election. But people vote for him. So if we was in the fair election, definitely Bashir will not win this election. But due to the fact that things was not in the right track, yeah, that's how it is. To come to the conclusion.
What are your feeling about the future development? Your feeling about the referendum is going to be a good outcome for you, or and it will allow you to build up new movements, with a force in order to build really a new country, for example.
Actually, it will be a great opportunity for the South Sudanese people to have their own country that will treat them as a first-class people, not the second class. So, actually, the referendum itself, it will be a great opportunity for the people who've been suffering for more than 50 years to have this right. Yeah, because the unity that we are claiming is become under gap. Nobody will resume anything. But SPLM have a program. Okay, as we fought for these years, we have a program for the development of country, for developing the society, for developing all the human resources that we have. So, as we say that, the government that will be formed after the election, which is mean the election, the elected government will be a unique government that will provide the services for the people. So we have a very big vision that to save the people that we fought about them. Because you cannot imagine somebody been fighting for 21 years. We will in when you see the casualties of this war, it is causing us 2 million death. And we lost, we have more than 4 million refugees all over the world. Even in Italy here, we have many Sudanese from the southern Sudan are here. They come see in the war time. So somebody cannot imagine that after all this struggle and after all this suffering, to form a government who can do the same that we was being fought against. This is typical, it will not happen. Because we want to give a new spirit to the people, a new governance, a new way of ruling, a new opportunity, a new life for the country. So we are quite sure that the SPLM, once the government achieve the independence, the SPLM will be in the both countries, because it will be in the north and it will be in the south. This is definitely because SPLM is a Sudanese movement, So those who will be in the south, they will have the SPLM, and those who is in the north will have the SPLM, because we become the largest movement in the world. And what we are advising is this: if the referendum happens, we want the south and the north to live in peace, to be because I want to just to send a message to the north people that the south, when it's getting independent, it will not be taken to Malaysia or somewhere else. It will be there in the south. So we will be a neighbor. We have to be a brotherly, a brother neighbor. We have to use all this historical interaction to build a new basis for a new relation. If the voting for the unity of the country, we want the unity in a new basis. We will treat our interests in the south, in Darfur, in the west, in the far north, in the center. This is how we are wishing things will be going through Abia. Yeah.
Abbiamo intervistato il signor Georgiul Wetaet de Pioc, direttore dell'ufficio relazioni pubbliche del SPLM, il Movimento di Liberazione del Popolo del Sudan. Il Sudan è una repubblica islamica guidata dal presidente Omar al-Bashir e ha diversi problemi interni, soprattutto in Darfur, colpito da una crisi umanitaria dal 2003 e non ancora risolta. Il Sudan meridionale è al momento in una situazione di pace dopo una guerra ultra trentennale e nel 2011 andrà al referendum per decidere sull'autonomia della regione. Le istanze separatiste del Sudan meridionale troveranno espressione nel referendum del 2011. Quali sono le sue speranze?
Well, the peace that been
dopo la lunga guerra in Africa, le maggiori parti in lotta hanno raggiunto un accordo che ci permetterà di avere un paese unico, unito o diviso. Noi dell'SPLM abbiamo intrapreso la strada unitaria, costruita su nuove basi. Fino a che la parte settentrionale del paese però continuerà ad avere la legge islamica, la Sharia, i popoli del sud hanno pieno diritto ad avere uno stato diverso.
Quali sono i rapporti tra i musulmani settentrionali e i cristiani che vivono nel Sudan meridionale e quali sono gli elementi di divisione fra le due parti?
Oh, okay.
L'SPLM ha combattuto la sua guerra perché il governo del nord opprimeva le popolazioni meridionali e quando la lotta è stata guidata dal presidente Garand è stato possibile raggiungere gli accordi di pace di Addis Abeba. Il problema principale è comunque quello di analizzare il Sudan sulla base di due differenze, quella storica e quella temporale. Il Sudan già esisteva prima dell'arrivo degli arabi con le sue diverse civiltà. Solo dopo sono arrivate altre civilizzazioni diverse da quelle originali. Il paese non ha avuto origine né con gli arabi né con Bashir. La diversità temporale è che in Sudan risiedono circa 500 gruppi etnici e si parlano 70 lingue diverse. Non si può imporre a tutti di essere arabi o islamici. Il paese deve essere gestito in maniera egualitaria, ovvero sia cristiani che islamici devono avere lo stesso livello e gli stessi diritti. La visione attuale del Sudan è molto stretta. Il paese è arabo e islamico. Adesso si deve superare questa visione e si deve costruire una nuova nazione senza accentuare le differenze etniche, religiose o culturali. Se il governo settentrionale continuerà ad applicare la Sharia, il Sudan meridionale sicuramente vorrà una nuova nazione basata su una legge diversa.
Dopo aver dato uno sguardo generale alla situazione, analizziamola nel dettaglio. Come procede la realizzazione del programma di 15 punti per costruire la vostra nazione?
Chiaramente non si può costruire una nazione in un giorno. La lotta è stata controversa e difficile. Abbiamo contrastato lotte interne e fattori di divisione esterna. Il punto fondamentale è che il popolo del Sudan meridionale è dalla nostra parte. D'altro canto, il rapporto con il partito del Congresso nazionale, guidato dal presidente Bashir, continua a non comprendere o a non voler comprendere le nostre richieste. E se continuerà ad agire in questo modo, è probabile che non sarà solo il Sudan del Sud ad avere istanze separatiste, ma anche il resto del paese, come nel Darfur, nella zona orientale e nella zona settentrionale, dove le varie etnie subiscono da tempo la Sharia, senza poter esercitare i propri diritti o i propri doveri.
Sembrerebbe che i confini politici del Sudan non corrispondano del tutto alle differenti etnie, come nel vostro caso, con 5 grossi gruppi insieme nella stessa identità politica. Non ci sono alcune possibilità di un sostegno o un'interdipendenza tra i vari movimenti sudanesi e il vostro?
Al momento non ci interessa l'indipendenza, ma solo raggiungere nuove basi per il paese, ovvero il rispetto delle diversità. L'indipendenza e l'autodeterminazione sono delle cose che potrebbero nascere in seguito, sempre che il governo di Bashir continui a tenere una linea dura nei nostri confronti. Il problema è che il Congresso e lo stesso presidente Bashir hanno concentrato tutto a Khartoum, la capitale. C'è stata una forte azione centralista e ciò che è peggio, tutto quello che c'è fuori da Khartoum è la versione reale del paese, ovvero una grossa parte del popolo vive in estrema povertà e sottosviluppo. Bashir crede che il paese sia al suo servizio, mentre dovrebbe essere lui ad essere al servizio dello Stato e dei cittadini.
Come sono andate le elezioni del 2010? Cosa sa dirci riguardo alla regolarità delle stesse?
Le elezioni sono state un elemento preponderante negli accordi di pace precedenti. Noi volevamo delle elezioni regolari, con la gente libera di votare chiunque credeva necessario. Il processo però è andato molto diversamente. Abbiamo chiesto un sistema elettorale equo, ma la risposta del governo centrale è stata quella di costruire un sistema disegnato su misura per la vittoria del partito del Congresso nazionale. Le irregolarità sono avvenute soprattutto a livello di registrazione e del censimento, che hanno permesso a meno persone del numero regolare di votanti appunto di votare. Il Congresso ha risposto solo offrendoci dei posti nel governo. Ecco perché crediamo che le elezioni siano state irregolari. In alcune zone abbiamo boicottato per ragioni di sicurezza, come in Darfur, e in altre zone, come nella zona settentrionale, dove non ci sarebbero state delle elezioni regolari. Gli osservatori dell'ONU sono stati maltrattati, minacciati di torture fisiche, sono stati messi quindi in condizioni di non poter fare nulla. Il paese, soprattutto al nord, sembrava militarizzato. Nel sud le elezioni sono state regolari, infatti anche se il processo è stato lungo e complesso non ci sono stati elementi di irregolarità e il nostro presidente attuale, Kiir, ha ricevuto il 92% dei consensi.
In conclusione, lei crede che il Sudan del Sud potrà finalmente avere l'opportunità di avere pieni diritti?
Il referendum del 2011 è una grandissima opportunità. La guerra ha disperso tanti sudanesi del sud e noi dobbiamo sfruttare questa occasione per ottenere l'autonomia. L'SPLM deve giocare un ruolo sicuramente preponderante nella regione. Una volta raggiunta la maggioranza, poi, dobbiamo sforzarci di costruire una nuova nazione fondata su nuove basi, più democratiche e più libertarie.
Ringraziamo il signor Pyok per averci fornito l'opportunità di poter approfondire la situazione del Sudan e gli auguriamo il meglio per il suo paese e la sua lotta.
Grazie mille.